three counties.
Across beds, hearts and bugs.
Ian Lee and Catherine Boyle
on BBC Three Counties Radio.
From the heavens to the bottom of the sea. Well, I stand at every corner of the world, and I stand in every corner of your heart.
Afternoon, suckers. I mean, really. Why aren't you out having a life on a Saturday, for crying out loud? A lot of pressure, Catherine. A lot of pressure. Hang on, he's going to finish. Hang on. By the way, we can do rock eccentrics. Rock and roll eccentrics. Julian Cope ranks up there very highly. The way it's going to work today, we're going to chat. You call up if you want.
Join
you just kind of join in the conversation. Or you don't. I'm not bothered. 03459 455 555. What was I going to say?
Some things about some stuff. You said you've got a spleen to vent.
Well, no, I've got many. So you talk about, it's funny you mentioned spleens. Is a spleen an actual part of the body?
Can you?
Where? Touch your spleen. Simon says, touch your spleen.
I can only touch it if you give me some sort of probe.
Wowzers. What is it? Is it offal? Well,
yeah.
It's quite nice, actually.
It would be, yeah.
Well, where? You're not telling me where it is.
It's your giblets.
Well, not my giblets. I've only recently, I used to read many books about karate and kung fu.
Why?
Because I used to be into it.
How'd you write about it?
No, I used to read.
Yeah, no, but how would you... Read. How would you write about karate?
I don't know. You have to ask the karate man that wrote it. I read it. I used to be obsessed. My first obsession before.
But what do these entail? These books. Is it like now high kick to the face?
There are some books that teach you how to do karate from the from the pictures.
You're joking.
It's photographs, right? But I also used to read lots of books about Bruce Lee.
Right.
Because I was obsessed with Bruce Lee. The first obsession as a 10-year-old child, 9-10-year-old child, was Bruce Lee. Mm-hmm. Bruce Lee. And so you'd read these karate books, right? And they talk about the solar plexus.
Yeah.
And I'd never had it. It's there.
Yeah.
It's there. It's just what, below.
It's where you can get winded.
And if you get a punch, if you take a punch to the solar plexus, boy, oh boy, you feel it for like months afterwards.
Yeah.
So, okay, let's go through bits of the body. We all know the famous bits, the eyes, the arms, the fingers. The less famous parts of the body, the spleen.
Mm-hmm. You filter them.
Okay, that's fair. Your adenoids.
Yeah. Now, do you have grommets or do you have to have them put in?
You have grommets put in. Grommets are for generally young boys, although girls get them at times. They get waxy build-up and it creates a little tube and the wax pours out.
Don't ever say waxy build-up again.
Oh, man alive! I'd love a good waxy build-up. 03459 455 555. You join in at any point. We're just going to whack the faders open and you can chip into the conversation about anything you want, guys. You mentioned the spleen, I believe.
Yes.
And it's interesting because the body, the human body, has been an integral part of my life this week. Because, as you know, Catherine, I've been yay close to... I was at a thing at the. I was doing a show on Thursday, and there was a very, very drunk girl there. Very pleasant. I say that because I know her boyfriend's listening. Very drunk girl wandering around with a wine glass on her head.
Oh!
I couldn't watch. I couldn't watch because it was making me very anxious. Right. And then she's going, and it was really late, and we were trying to leave, and we had to be up early to do the show on Friday. She's going, have a drink. And I didn't want to go into that, oh, I don't drink. She goes, have a drink. I said, no, we're going to go.
Did you pretend?
Have a quick drink.
You go, delicious.
I said, no, I don't. She said, go on, just a small Jaeger bomb.
Flipping it.
I know. Now, I don't know. It's been a long time since I've been in the booze industry, over 11 years. What the hell is a Jaeger bomb?
It's, well, I think it's one of them things where you have a shot in a glass and you sink it in your beer or whatever it is.
But what type of booze is it? Is it a rum, a gin?
Jägermeister is a thing.
Okay, but again, what can we let's hone in on this? What type of booze is a Jäger? Is it a gin, a vodka, a rum? What is it?
Shall I try one tonight and tell you?
Please do, Catherine. Is that how it's going to work? I say things and you try them tonight.
Yeah.
Gulp. So the body has been integral to me this week.
Yeah.
Because I've been...
And before that, I would imagine.
Well, more so this week. Like I have actually realised what they mean when people say their body is a temple.
Mm.
What I mean when I say my body is a temple is...
A ruin.
Shoes off, no women allowed.
Oh!
When you come in. No, hang on, that can't be right. That has connotations. I was close to losing my voice. When I get cold, goes to the chest... Mm-hmm. The voice goes.
Yeah.
Okay.
And but not before it's told me repeatedly that it's going.
That's a dig. Why are you digging
me? I'm not digging. Just saying.
What's
Conserve
your...
the tool.
What's the weakest part of your body then?
Oh, my left elbow.
Why?
Broken it twice showing off.
We have to ask how?
One, skating on the ice. Don't skate on the ice at school.
No.
I did. Pop in a pirouette.
Yeah.
Bang, straight on that. Second time, fell off my friend.
Wowzers.
I was standing on her shoulders.
And you actually fell off of a friend.
Fell off her.
Don't, because we were out with the boys yesterday getting, not coconuts.
Chestnuts.
Thank you. No, not chestnuts.
Conkers.
Thank you. Conkers. We went on a conker kind of vibe. And you there, Paul? No, okay. We need to reassign this. I'm going to drag Paul. If I drag Paul, hang on a second. You put Paul there. Thank you. You're there, Paul, now, aren't you?
Hi, Ian. How are you, mate?
I'm very, very well indeed. We're all getting to grips with being in a studio at a weekend. Who'd have thunk it? What's the weakest part of your body, Paul?
The weakest part of my body? I don't know. I ain't got a clue, to be honest. Well, today's my head.
Oh dear, Paul.
There must be a part of your body that is. Oh, have you been? Were you having a stiff one last night?
Yeah, well, I was just on about the Jägermeister thing, the Jäger bomb.
Yeah, go on.
We had a few last night at Hall Green Dogs, and
where?
My mate bought us a few at Hall Green Greyhound Races.
All right, yeah, got you.
So my mate bought us two Jäger bombs, and I don't do shorts, you see, right?
Yeah.
So I've necked it really quickly, and then puked up next to the bar, basically. And I had to, like, hide where I was being sick. But it was horrible. The worst drink ever, mate. The worst drink
ever.
But
what is it, though? Is it? Am I right in that you sink it, or is it a shot?
Yeah, it's a Jägermeister.
You can't just keep saying it's a Jägermeister, because I don't know what that means.
A strong liqueur.
Strong liquor.
What does this liqueur taste like?
Tastes like horrible.
And this is the thing, guys.
I imagine it tastes like Night Nurse.
It's very similar to Night Nurse.
Let's be honest, guys. Right? There's no such thing as a nice booze. A red wine, I could kind of give you, right? A red wine. But that's it. All other booze. When I used to love Jack Daniels. No, I didn't. I used to love Coke. I used to love boozy Coke.
Yeah.
Right? And so I had to drown the Jack Daniels. I used to love vodka. No, I didn't. I used to love boozy orange.
Yeah.
That was it. There's no such thing as a nice drink. It's like when you start smoking. It's when you start smoking, okay? The first few cigarettes are flipping horrible, right? But you get used to it. Mm-hmm. And it's the same with beer. Same with beer. You get used to it.
Yeah.
The best drink ever, cider drink, mate.
Oh, no.
Beautiful.
Too sweet. I bet you put ice cubes in it like a massive hipster.
No, I just try and drink as much as possible. Like tonight, I'm going to go and see someone tonight.
He's coming to see me in Birmingham.
So there'll be a strong waft of booze coming from Paul's direction tonight.
You'll see me and Lucky Roy at the back having a beer at the back.
As long as I don't see you having a puke at the back.
No, that was last night. It's all done and dusted.
Are you coming to the first show or the second show?
Second show, because we've got to have a few beers.
It's going to be rubbish, mate, because it's going to be rubbish. I'm going to be knackered by that.
Well, that's why we've gone out first beforehand, do you know what I mean? We can just go over our heads.
Paul, thank you very much.
He's bracing himself for disappointment through the medium of booze.
Thank you very much indeed. You want to phone in and take part, you do. 03459 455 555. Jem phones you back. And you can just... If she's called you back, there's a strong chance that you're on air. And what I want to try and avoid doing, and we're going to do it a bit, is try and do that. Hey, it's Stephen Luton. Hey, Steve, what would you like to say?
Yeah.
Just chip in. So if
so they'll say, what do you reckon?
Well, if Jonas phoned you back, he said, dropping a hint for the person who was on line four, there's a strong chance...
That's me!
There we
Yay!
Go!
Oh.
I want to try and work it into
Hello.
It. Where
Hello,
you just join in the conversation. If Jonas phoned you back, there's a strong chance you'll be on air, OK? So just go with that.
That's awkward.
Why is it awkward?
What am I supposed to do? What am I supposed to say? Hello?
Just join in, as if you've sidled up to us in the pub and we're all a bit three sheets to the breeze.
Drinking Jägermeister, drinking Jägerbombs.
Yes.
Yeah. I drank so many Jägerbombs on my 30th birthday that a bar fell on me. A drinks cabinet fell on top of me.
I know who this is. This is Gareth Stranks.
It is, hello.
Because his girlfriend's got had a lovely selection of Hornsey pottery. And I saw the
demise
of that on Twitter.
I've got to say, guys, for those of the hard of hearing, what's horny pottery?
Hornsey pottery.
Okay, that's okay.
You'll remember the look of it. Do you remember what probably your mum had in the 1970s? It's like, it looks earthenware, but it's got great big daisies on it. It's kind of...
It's really brown and orange.
Yeah.
We had no knick-knacks in our house.
We
were poor. We lived on a council estate. So we were poor.
Not even a Royal Doulton lady?
No, we had none of that. We had... my nan had all that stuff and the carriage clocks and all of that. All we had was a stolen Betamax video recorder that I wasn't allowed to tell anyone we had. We had to hide it behind the sofa. It's good.
We don't have anything because I smashed it all on my birthday.
Oh,
this is when you were boozed up. Hang on, what happened?
So, so do you know what Jägerbombs are?
Kind of now. It's Night Nurse that you put in your pint.
or Red Bull. Put it in Red Bull as well. Red Bull.
I think we've given all of these drinks more than ample.
If
this were commercial radio, I'd be expecting to trip over a crate of all this stuff once we step out of the studio. Unfortunately, it's the BBC, so put it round the back.
Or if you're a student, then you get something called Blue Bolt from Sainsbury's, which is like a really cheap version.
Oh, blimey.
I'm so glad I'm out of the drinking game. I could never do... The cider thing was supposed to be the entry-level booze as a kid. I couldn't do it. Couldn't do cider.
White Lightning.
Oh, dear. Anyway, Gareth...
Cider's horrible. Who likes cider? Does anyone like cider?
This is it. I don't think...
Paul loves it.
I don't think anybody likes any of the boozes. All of the boozes taste horrible. They do. They taste horrible.
I had quite a nice one on Thursday that was, like, really orangey and it had sweets in it. It had actual sweets in.
What you like is boozy sweet orange?
Yeah.
Stop kidding yourself.
Yeah, I do. Yeah.
You could have saved all that pottery and all that trouble.
Ideally, that, yeah.
Gareth, thank you very much indeed. 03459 455 555. It may not work as a concept, but we'll try it. Mm-hmm. If Jen has called you back and Catherine and I are talking...
Just interrupt.
Just interrupt. Let's see how that goes. I'm playing track three here.
Yeah, on side one.
It's going round, so I'm gonna guess it. There's good mixing there when you get to hear the end of the previous
Beautiful.
Song. That means we're doing things absolutely as they should be and quite shoddy. He's boring me now. He has the tendency to do it.
He does go on.
I reluctantly, is that a word? Reluctantly,
yeah.
Went to, was taken to a Morrissey gig by my sister, like years and years ago. Years and years ago. Because she wanted someone to go
Did
with.
Did he sweat terribly?
It must have been like 93. I must have been 19. So 92, 93 mm-hmm. at the, it was in.
Hello,
who's that?
It's Judy.
Hello, Judy. How are you? You're right.
I'm fine, thank you very much. Jägermeister.
Oh, yes, go on.
It is a licorice-tasting liqueur, and it's not very nice.
You sound like you've had plenty of experience of booze.
No, I
this
was
morning.
Introduced to it by my mother-in-law very long time ago.
Really?
It's fairly disgusting. Yes, she was German lady.
Ah, you weren't banging back shots in the Revolution Bar?
No, I wasn't. But I did. I was introduced to Jägermeister by my parents-in-law at Christmas, and it was...
You haven't got back?
Oh, very, very licorice-y. And
I don't...
Very strong.
I don't like... Licorice.
Oh, I love it.
Licorice. I remember eating licorice all sorts as a kid. And that blue... I've just made a connection. I've just had a little electric shock in my head. I get nauseous when I see a light turquoise.
Mm.
I get nauseous.
Yes, the licorice all sorts of... The little hundreds and thousands on the top.
Yeah. And some of those are turquoise in colour.
And they're disgusting.
Oh, they're flipping horrible, aren't they?
They taste like cough mixture.
Well, and the cough mixture, I'm not so angry about it.
You know,
I quite enjoy it.
My granddad used to call licorice Spanish.
Oh,
Spanish. I have no idea why.
That's the old-fashioned name for it, isn't it?
You used to be able to get a pipe, didn't you? Anyway, we're talking about old sweets.
We're doing old sweets, Judy, but thank you very much indeed. Hello, who's that?
Not me.
Yeah, you. Who's that?
Oh, I'm Pat.
Oh, Pat. Nice to see you, Pat. How are you keeping?
Oh, not too bad, thank you, not too bad.
So what made you ring up then? What do you want to say?
Well, talking about licorice, I don't think I could eat licorice now because that would have a devastating effect on my body. But I was going to come back about...
Just double back a bit.
What effect would it have on your body?
Explosive.
Oh, really?
Explosive.
Really?
Oh, it's a natural laxative.
Oh, dear God.
Yeah, you don't want to beast that stuff.
Perverts.
Definitely not. I love licorice all sorts, but no, I think they're a no-no now. So that brings me back to body parts.
Excellent. What's the weakest part of your body, Pat?
Well, that might give you a clue.
Bertie Bassett has a lot to answer for.
Bertie Bassett.
Have you ever heard of a mesentery?
You what?
Mesentery.
A mesentery?
Yes, in your body. M-E-S-E-N. Oh, forgotten how to spell it. T-E-R-Y.
Entry.
Mesentery.
So what was... What, let's look at that word, mesentery.
I imagine it's some kind of orifice.
No, it's not. No.
Mm. I'm going to say it's part of the lung.
No.
Oh, okay.
You talked about this in the morning show, sort of about your bowels and things.
So your downstairs is very loose?
The mesentery actually holds all your intestines in place.
That sack you were talking about when you saw the mouse?
It's the sack.
It holds all your bits and pieces in place.
Wow, this is...
Because didn't you see someone dissect a mouse and you said it was all very neatly packaged?
I was involved in a... I was still a vegetarian at the time, so I was an observer and I was not a participant in taxiderming a mouse.
Taxiderming?
They were taxiderming a mouse, that's correct, yes. And you have to cut the skin with animals. And I guess it's the same with humans. You cut the skin very finely because all of the innards, the gizzards, etc., are in a thin,
a giblet bag,
translucent sack.
Oh.
Everything is kept within a sack. And you're saying your sack is rotten?
It's a bit diseased.
Okay, it's been compromised. Your sack has been compromised.
It's been
breached. Definitely compromised, yes. Okay. And I've never heard of it until I was told about it by the doctors.
And is there any cure for having a soiled sack? I don't know how to phrase it. I'm trying to be delicate. Is there a cure for it? Can they strengthen your sack?
It's not soiled, it's leaky, I think.
This particular one. No.
Okay, well, may God bless you, and I wish you the very best. This is kind of what I wanted. Have you tried...
Don't shake it about.
No. Have you tried any alternative therapies?
No.
Okay. Listen. Thank you very much for your call. This is kind of what I was wanted to get onto today. This is what the show was supposed to start with. Because you know I've been worried about losing my voice, and what I normally do when I'm about to lose my voice is I go for a steam. Mm-hmm. And someone in the office, Liz, who I believe was producing Justin's show this morning.
I could do Liz.
Sorry?
I could do Liz's voice.
I would watch that. I would watch you doing her voice.
Have you tried salt bath?
That's an excellent impression of Liz.
She sounds just like that.
How great to be able to do such minority impressions. And she did. She's sorry. Who's that?
It's Calvin Martin.
Hello, Martin. You're right.
Yeah, very well.
Have you had a salty bath?
I've had a salty bath. I've even tried a salt cave.
Now,
that's what he's talking about.
Thank you, sir. Tell me about this, because this is where I went to last week. I went to my first salt cave. Explain it.
It's a
pyramid.
That's what it is.
It's a. I'll give you one more chance, and then we're going to try call you back in a bit because your line's not very good. It's a what?
It's a real waste of money.
I can't hear.
I think he's saying it's a real waste of money, but I may be mishearing.
Martin, we'll try and call you back because I cannot hear what you're saying. Mm-hmm. I went to Liz recommended going to a salt.
Going to a salt cave.
She suggested a salt cave. I'd never heard of such a thing, mm-hmm. And I went because the first session was free, and I was expecting it to be kind of a little bit slapdash, mm-hmm. And to be kind of a heavy sell. I mean, you get like 10 minutes first session free. Not at all. I went to a trading estate in Milton Keynes.
Romantic.
Very romantic. I turned up. There was an elderly lady with a very nasty cough also going in. I said, I've come to try the salt cave. She said, great, the session's about to start. I was thinking, session, this is going to be very awkward, right? And I was allowed to keep my clothes on. I had to put little blue plastic things over my feet, hairnet.
Oh.
I said, am I allowed to read? She said, oh, yeah, you can read. So I had my Paul Gambaccini. And it was in this weird kind of office building. And then she opened a door. And in front of me, I was confronted by a salty kingdom.
Ian Lee in the salty kingdom.
03459 455 555. We'll have more of that in a second.
Travel news for Beds, Cards and Bugs.
BBC Three Counties Radio.
Good afternoon. Problems still around Hatfield. The A414 on North Orbital Road remains closed in both directions between the London Coney roundabout and the A1M at Hatfield. It's been closed for a few hours now, likely to remain closed for a little while yet. The air ambulance has also been on the scene. It's having a knock-on effect on other roads around the area. The A1M London bound very slow between Junction 3 at St Albans and the M25 as people try to find alternative routes away from that area. At Husbourne Crawley, Bedford Road, that remains closed in both directions. That follows an overturned lorry. Still got recovery work going on there between the A421 junction and School Lane. Good news though, everything looking good still on public transport. Gary King, BBC Three Counties Radio.
The next travel bulletin is in 30 minutes.
BBC Three Counties Radio. Every weekday morning.
Good morning, Jonathan.
Morning. Do you think it's right to tell a million disabled people they should get off benefits and find a job?
Have your say on today's big phone-in.
People who are going to be a nuisance are going to be a nuisance regardless of whether there are things to do.
Is it true that people over the age of 65 drink far too much booze?
The JVS Show fights for your rights and tackles your consumer problems.
Waited and the receipt came out. But the cash didn't.
It's become a problem of late because obviously the trees got bigger as we got here.
We couldn't shut the French windows. It would appear that they'd buckled.
I had a phone call from my daughter saying, if we don't get off the train, they're going to hand us over to the British Transport Police.
The JVS Show, weekdays from 9 on BBC Three Counties Radio.
Across Beds, Hearts and Bugs.
Ian Lee and Catherine Boyle.
On BBC Three Counties Radio.
It was a salty kingdom, right?
Which is what we call the late night show if we ever get one.
And by the way, I think it was Adrian, or no, it was Scott on Twitter, who described this show as a late night phone-in in the middle of the day.
Pretty much it. That's what it is.
The way it's going to work, guys, is we are just going to sit here and chat, and you can call in 03459 455 555. If Jen phones you back, the chances are you're on the air. So just
your fader's open, just speak.
Just join in the conversation anytime you want.
So if you're listening now, just speak.
Speak.
There
Yay!
We go. Who's that?
Hello, Ian. It's Chris.
Hello, Chris. You all right, fella?
Yeah, not too bad, mate.
What you got for us?
You was on about Jager bombs earlier.
And by the way, can I just say the person who has sat on Fader 4 for the last 15 minutes, you could have contributed at any moment, at any moment whatsoever. Yeah, go on, Chris.
I was drinking them last night. They're absolutely lovely.
Really?
Oh, yeah. I had a Jager bomb in a cider.
But it's a drink to get drunk, isn't it? It's not like you'll get a nice bottle of, I don't know, Merlot or something, and you'll sit down and you'll kind
savor
of
it.
Yeah, you'll enjoy it over a meal, and it's a drink solely for getting drunk.
Well, sort of, yeah, I suppose you could put it that way. I went to a friend's wedding last year, and there was about 12 of us, and we drunk the bar dry of Jägermeister. They had to go out to the off-license and get a few more bottles in for us.
Wow, that sounds like a proper classy do.
Now, we spoke to one woman who sounded like she really did enjoy all kinds of boozes. She implied, and I've seen this has created a furore on Twitter, she stated as fact that Jäger bombs, Jägermeister, tastes of licorice. But that's people on Twitter are saying that's absolute bullshine.
It is really, yeah. It doesn't taste like licorice at all, really. It's sweet, and it's made of herbs, and it's 35% proof.
Oh, blimey. You might as well just go out and get Thunderbird. It's more classier than Thunderbird. Well, listen, do you know what? Minesweeping a pub after closing time is classier than drinking Thunderbird. I mean, really, in the great scheme of it. I remember drinking Thunderbird when people say that binge drinking and youth drinking is a problem now. No. Well, I remember being 16 and in a park, 15 or 16. 15, and in a park with a load of my older friends who were all smoking all kinds of magic cigarettes, and there was a bottle of Thunderbird, and I remember drinking it and thinking, I've come home. And I went back to my mum that night, and my eyes were, I believe the phrase is pie-eyed, because they were as wide as pies, and I said, I found this amazing drink. It's 17.5% proof, and it's amazing. The next weekend, I went to a birthday party hosted by a young girl called Adele, and there was a girl there, Carrie, that I really fancied, who I later became a vegetarian for. And to get a bit of Dutch courage and tell her I fancied her, I downed, ladies and gentlemen, a whole bottle of Red Thunderbird, the strong one. I downed, and the last thing I remember is seeing her and then passing out and then waking up puking in my own toilet and my mum saying, you are never leaving this house ever again. Then I passed out, then I woke up in a bed full of vomit.
Sweet. What a sweet romantic tale.
Someone can beat that one,
Ian. Oh, go on.
I used to run a pub.
Uh-oh.
And my son, he was about 3 years old.
Blimey. All right. Hang on a minute. Are you sure you want to tell this story on the radio?
I'm just ringing the soch.
There we go.
He was helping me clear up at the end of the night. Yeah. And all the little bits of dregs in the glasses.
Yeah.
He was sneaking it and he was drinking that.
Oh, blimey.
He got absolutely paralytic.
Get in there, son.
And he was 3 years old.
Oh, blimey. How old is he now?
He's 12 now.
Okay, and he's made it that far. And I mean, is he going to AA? Is he okay with his boozing now? He's got it under control.
Yeah, he goes and buys his own. Doesn't touch.
There we go, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you very much indeed. Of course,
Broken Britain, right there.
Broken Britain, right there. Sorry.
Hi, Ian. It's Elaine. Can I butt in?
Of course you can butt in. Away you go. Well, Elaine's got the handle on how this shoddiness works. Yeah, of course you can. Go on. What you got?
Well, I don't know what shoddiness, because I turned the radio off, so I won't get any feedback.
Oh.
But I just going very quickly go back to Jägermeister. Yes, it is a German liqueur, and traditionally it's used as an after dinner drink to aid the digestion, because the Germans are a bit like that. They like to aid the digestion.
Oh, they're disgusting pigs. All that verse they're ramming down their throat.
They've got to power it through with something.
Exactly.
My mother was German. But when we used to go to Germany, she used to get very, very seasick, and she used to take
hang on. She used to get seasick in Germany. That's a landlocked country,
no,
isn't it?
Going travelling to Germany.
Thank you. Okay. Thank you very much indeed, Elaine. Yes.
So she used to take the Jägermeister to settle her stomach. And if you can keep it down, it's pretty good, actually.
So feeling sick...
Only today is it used.
Feeling sick and then you put Jägermeister on top of that. Is that the idea?
Exactly, absolutely. Quite good on a really choppy channel.
Good Lord.
Elaine, thank you very much indeed. 03459 455 555. We'll get to the stage in about, I reckon, 3 weeks' time where we don't have to explain the rules. But I'm going to keep explaining them now because it's different from anything else you're going to hear anywhere else. We're just going to sit here talking. You call up. You'll speak to Jen. She'll call you back. Once she calls you back, it'll take about a few seconds for me to notice it on the screen. There's a strong chance you're on air. You just chip in. And I'm not going to do that. All right, we've got Elaine on the line now. Elaine, what would you like to... You just chip in and you could stay there for ages and never speak. That's your choice. So, the salt cave, right?
Yeah.
Walked into this salty room and it was this room.
Could you taste it in the air?
Yeah, you could. It was, the walls were covered in salt, right? The floor, I thought it was sand on the floor until I fingered it. It was salt. And they're like these deck chairs, mm-hmm. right? And there are loads of magazines and stuff.
Are they made of salt?
No, they weren't. They had salty deposits on.
Yeah.
And so you just sit there. And now what happens is they pump salty air into the room. You don't notice it, okay? You don't notice it, but this is what they do. And a very nice gentleman came and explained it to me and how it works. And basically, the kind of salt helps. Apparently, people who work in salt mines never get ill. That's the philosophy behind
it. Apart from when the salt lands on them.
Apart from when they get killed, obviously, by huge slabs of salt. Yeah. And it's supposed to, it clings to your lungs and it cleans your lungs. And the lady that was in there with me was swearing blindly. She'd given up smoking a few years ago. But she had still had bad emphysema, or she had had bad emphysemia.
Emphysema.
Yeah. And she had a bad cough, and this helped her. It helped calm the cough down and stuff. And I was in there, and
Did you believe it at this point?
I thought I'll try anything once, because I didn't want to lose my voice. I was desperate not to lose my voice, okay? So I thought, I'll have a go. And I came out, and I felt better. I came out, and I felt a little bit of the pressure on my chest had gone.
Placebo?
I'm not a fan. I don't know why you're bringing late 90s rock and roll into it. And I came out and I felt better. Now, if it was a placebo or not, it worked. It worked, in as much as the tightness on the chest had gone, and my voice is still with us when I was predicting, and I'm normally quite accurate, I was predicting that it was going to go.
Repeatedly, yeah.
So maybe I'm coming round to think that the alternative therapies is the way forward.
My friend did Reiki on me once. She did a course.
Now, that's when they hold their hands about 2 inches from your body. And I was into all that nonsense when I was a kid, yeah.
And it made me throw up. But it didn't. It was what I'd drunk before.
Yeah, you see. 03459 455 555. Can I play a boy band song to you?
Only if it's Orange Orange.
No, it's not Orange Orange, right? I love this song. I think this is a cracking song. Do you remember OTT?
No.
Oh, this is. I shouldn't like this. This is a great song.
It sounds old fashioned.
Yeah. Listen, here they come. Here they come.
They're going to grab the air.
On and on we could go. On and on this way forever. Yeah. Willing to feel love and pain, only in careful measures. Ooh. Never asking for too much. Never taking more than you need. Guarding our trust like frightened refugees. Promises I made and promises are often broken. Ooh. Don't let it take away the meaning of these words I've spoken. Oh, I wanna make that leap of faith to the arms of eternity. I'll be unafraid that you've got to be there for me. Best of everything, the best of
come on. Now, you snarked at me when I said I was going to play. That's a good song, isn't it?
It's my default position, snarkiness.
Isn't that a good song?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
OTT, I know nothing about them, apart from the fact that that song is flipping awesome. What a great song. What a great song.
Simeon didn't like it.
Oh,
on the Periscope.
On the didn't like it. I hope it's a short story. So I've never been a fan of the alternative therapies, but here's.
So you never had a candle in your ear?
Oh no, the Chinese candle.
Hopi.
I've had acupuncture once.
Have you? Where did they stick it?
I'm not going to sink to that level, Catherine.
No, but did they?
What? Sorry.
Where did they put it?
They put the needles in my body.
Right, did they put them in and then twang them?
Yeah.
Oh!
Here's the thing. Sorry?
Hello.
Who's that?
That's Jamie.
Hello, Jamie. Right? What do you want?
I was talking about Jaeger bombs. Someone's obsessed with your stomach. Mm. Oh, yeah. I'm a student. That's not why you drink it. You drink it because it's a pound in clubs. Do you know what I mean?
That's the only reason.
Yeah. Well, I think that's what it is. Oh, but, Ian, I've got... Do you mind if I play you a song at all?
Yeah, go on. Sure.
Can you hear it?
Yes!
Alright, cool.
Are you playing...
It's got a keyboard out.
Sounds like Frank to me. Oh, it's Frank Sidebottom. Guess who's been on Match of the Day? Frank Sidebottom.
Sorry, that was all I had, to be honest.
Thanks very much. That's all you need.
Enough.
Guess who's been on Match of the Day? And the audience would shout, "You have in your big shots." He was on Match of the Day. The thing about acupuncture is it hurts.
Yeah.
It really hurts. This won't hurt at all. Just a tiny prick. How rude. It does. It's needles going in your body.
And then getting flicked.
And then they go... Well, that was the name of the guy doing it to me. No, they do that. And it hurts. It really, really hurts. And do you know what? It doesn't do anything. Because it's just needles going in your body.
My mate Jason reckons it does. It alleviates his back pain.
Your mate Jason is talking out of his Hopi candle. It doesn't do anything.
Not even if they give it a really good twang.
Here's the thing about the Chinese, right? They don't know nothing about medicine, right? They've got the needles.
But their doctor in the medic shop would tell you otherwise.
Doctor in the herbs. Doctor and the medics weren't Chinese. They were plagiarists. No, they weren't. They did a cover version. You couldn't call it plagiarism unless they come out and said, "We wrote this song ourselves."
And they never.
No, never. So they've got the needles and the bark. And it is just the kind of bark that we can buy, that you can get from any middle-class garden. And I know because I've tried that as well.
What?
The bark. You know,
out of your garden?
No, but I've been to the Chinese herbalist, right? And it didn't do it does nothing.
Do you do with the bark? Rub it on.
No,
or?
You boil it up and you make a stew that tastes of. But we're back to the L word, licorice, and it's flipping horrible. And it licorice and dirt, and it don't do nothing. It don't do nothing. The Chinese are onto a great scam with those two things. Here's a thing. Have you ever... the Reiki made you throw up?
Yeah, no, it was the booze that I'd ingested before we tried it out that made me throw up.
Did you feel the psychic energy emanating from her palms?
I thought I
did,
but at that point I was quite in tune with the spirits. Bacardi and Cokes.
You know, you know that I went on a crystal healing course.
Yeah, and you believed it for an hour, didn't you?
I believed it for most of my late teens.
Did you?
Yeah, I believed that. And I learned how to do the hands and feel the energies and all of that nonsense.
You're such a hippie.
It was awful. And then I realised that science is king. I didn't know this was classed as an alternative therapy. My father-in-law, who is a cardiologist, when I told him about this, what were you doing with that alternative nonsense? Osteopathy.
Right.
Now, I thought that was science because there's clicking involved. Mm-hmm. And when you go there, he's got a picture on the wall, a map of the body, a body map.
Hello, can I butt in?
Yeah.
Gosh can, Linda.
All right, OK, we're going back to talk about salt, right, and how it makes you breathe well. Yeah,
yeah. Yeah.
What I do when I get all decongested, that's a big word, I get a hot water bottle, I fill it with, I half fill it with boiling water, I put loads of salt in it, and you know the top bit, it could fit over your nose and mouth.
Yes.
So I've got this over my face.
Like you're blowing up a whoopee cushion.
Water, the boiling salt water, because obviously you're getting lots of... And what you do, when it stops when vapour stops coming, you sort of pump it with your elbow, like you've got bagpipes. And you do that, and that's brilliant. That's what I do, but when no one's watching, obviously.
Clearly. You wouldn't want to do that in front of anyone. That's a passion killer.
I really recommend it, and I should go on Dragon's Den because it's brilliant. You need to try it to laugh.
Do you know what? I will.
Until you try it.
No, you're absolutely right. Well,
you want to pump a hot water bottle?
Go for the traditional...
Or blue. I've got two now because, you know, I have.
Does it matter about the colour? Just for a friend.
I think blue is more of a water colour, perhaps.
I go for the traditional... I have a bowl with...
A towel.
With a towel over the head. I do that. But this is kind of...
It's easier, isn't it? Because all you're doing is literally... It's like... as if you're having oxygen over your face, but you're not. You're breathing in the salt.
I tell you what, Linda, this goes back. Imagine if you filled that with the Jager bombs. you could just sup that bad boy up.
You could.
I tell you what I did last night, Linda. I did it, and I ordered something online, then I cancelled it in media. I thought, well, that's too decadent. And then I reordered it. I'm getting it tomorrow.
What was it? A Mercedes-Benz?
An electric blanket.
Oh, you devil.
A lecky blanky. Sorry?
No.
What do you mean, no?
I don't know. I just wonder. What if you... Are they OK if they get a bit of water on them?
What are you suggesting, Linda?
She's back with the hot water bottle.
Well, you know, if sometimes you might have a lot to drink and you sleep and you forget to get up. Do you understand?
So I haven't... I'm 42. I've not wet the bed in 20 years.
Yeah, that's it. You're getting to the age now where... bladder problems happen, and you imagine
don't laugh.
That.
This is a word of warning.
You'd be a singe in the morning, wouldn't you?
A singe. You'd be a crisp.
The thing is that, do you know what? And I, because we're thinking about getting it for the boys, and the boys don't wet the bed, but we're thinking about it. I did a lot of research last night. It turns out electric blanket technology has come on a long way since the late 1970s.
Well, there's a wee guard now.
Yeah, they are no longer a potential risk in terms of getting them wet. They're pretty safe now. And the thing is, I like the bedroom cold, Linda. I like the bed hot. You know what I mean, love?
Yeah. I'll have my salted hot water. In fact, the hot water bottle, you can then use it to lay with it after you've taken all the deep breaths with it. So it's actually...
That's two things.
Money. Yeah. Brilliant.
Linda, thank you very much indeed. There we go.
She's but you got... feel like a right idiot now buying that blanket. You could have just pumped a hot water bottle and then slept with it.
80 quid.
For a black... Do you know what? I like the idea of an electric blanket, but I don't like the idea of going to bed plugged in.
Well, no, you unplug it. You put it on half an hour before you get into bed. Warm bed. Unplug it. Beautiful. They've got timers on now as well, so you can set it to go off... You know, in the middle of the night, or stopping them. You do all these things. The technology is amazing.
Wow.
Very decadent, though. So, yeah, I've got one. That's coming tomorrow. So, Sunday night, gonna be so warm in my bed.
You're listening to QVC. We've only got five of these left. You won't believe how much they're going for now. We're going to knock the price down.
Chris.
20 quid.
Chris says, hello?
Hello. It's very intimidating, actually, not being presented. Introduced. Hi.
Hello, this is Katia. This is Ian. Hi, Katia.
Nice to meet you. Nice to meet you, yes.
Nice to meet you. I wanted to say you can't really diss the acupuncture because I remember watching this documentary on the BBC. BBC is good.
Well, some of it.
And where they wanted to say how effective it was for anaesthesia to put you to sleep. Well, not indefinitely, but...
What? So instead of giving you the pumping you full of drugs, they put a needle in and twang it and you fall asleep?
Yes, that's it. And
sounds
it
like it could work.
It works.
Well, no.
Yes.
You're just saying in a cute accent, this works. It's not evidence that it works.
Right, I have evidence.
Well, what's the evidence? A program you saw on the BBC?
Katia, I don't know if you've noticed, but you're awake. That's not evidence.
All right. I can't believe it, but I've looked it up to make sure that...
Wow, the internet. Wow, the home of the facts.
No, listen, there's method in there. Because I looked it up to see if the BBC wasn't lying. So
BBC lying? Who would have ever thought it? Now.
Right, sorry. But, you know, you never know. So PubMed, which is really good, you know, it's all the...
PubMed?
Yeah, all the medical...
PubMed?
Paper.
Pub, not club, pub med. It's
pub on, men?
Pub med.
P-U-B.
You know she doesn't speak English properly. No,
well, because it's an easy target. So hang on, you're saying that you that there is a website that is purely medical advice dished out by people in pubs?
No, it's probably published.
Well, this is the thing. And let me be serious for a moment. You are getting your facts from a website. You don't even know what the name
means. But it's like public med.
No, yeah. No. It's very serious. Yes. You can pay for it.
Pay for what? Now you're just rambling, woman. Tell you what, you can pay. Oh, if you can pay for the website, it must be legitimate then. Yeah, of course.
If you're a doctor, you would use that.
All your knowledge, and your medical
actually,
degree.
Actually, you say that. My one of my Greek cousins is a doctor. So he works in hospital. He's doing some research. I was asking him about some specific medicine, right? I heard about migraines, mm-hmm. and he went, "Oh, let me have a look." He has an app on his phone. An NHS app that tells him all about the medicines and stuff like that.
So it turns out you don't need to go to college.
You don't need to go to college. You can just download an app. An app is short for application. Yeah, did you know that, Katia?
I know that.
Do you know how you say that in French, Katia?
Je pourrais peut-être acheter ça aussi.
Hey, why don't you two have a little chitty chat in parlez-vous
oui,
français?
Oui, parce que on pourrait parler de lui et il saurait pas.
Peut-être pas. But it's a bit maybe rude, is it?
Totally. Very rude. Carry on. Continue.
I just wanted to make that point.
Can you two talk
Alors, qu'est-ce
in French,
que tu vas faire aujourd'hui? Tu vas sortir ce soir?
Aujourd'hui. Ah oui, je vais aller voir un show aujourd'hui.
Ah bon?
Spectacle.
De quoi?
Moi, je ne suis pas sûre si je vais y aller finalement.
Mais c'est, ça, il s'agit de quoi?
Oh, 0345 955 555 is the telephone number. But I was surprised that osteopathy was classed as an alternative medicine because that works. I have headaches or I have back pain. I go and see the bloke. Sometimes after one session, sometimes after four sessions, my back pain is gone and my headaches. The pressure has been relieved.
But also, don't you think you stand straighter? It's all about posture, isn't it?
It makes me erect. Yes, it does. I stand erect and it changes
makes you look
things.
Thinner.
It does. It's so that's fact. Mm-hmm. Here's the thing.
Do you hear a click though when you're doing it?
Oh, I demand a click from Brian. I say to Brian, if I've not had
click
a click,
me.
I say, Brian, listen, I've not got my £42 worth. I want a click, and boy, oh boy,
he clicks you.
He clicks me like a good one. But there is an intense rivalry between osteopaths
and chiropractors.
Yeah, yeah.
They both diss each other.
They do.
They should definitely get him to do like an 8-mile thing.
What, a click-off?
A click-off.
Because the chiropractor... I've never been to a chiropractor, but the chiropractors claim to be more scientific. Okay.
Do they? I thought it was the other way around.
No. Chiropractors claim to be scientific, and they dismiss the osteopaths as the hippies.
Oh.
And the hippies say that the chiropractors... They adhere to perfection. So the osteopaths think that the chiropractors want you to have a completely straight back, when everyone's back can't be straight. Glad we sorted that. It's not allowed. 03459 455 555 is the telephone number. The way it works, and we're going to stop explaining the rules in a few weeks, but we'll do it now. You phone up, Jen will call you back, and if she's called you back and you can hear us on your phone, the odds are you are part of the conversation. As you heard, you can be kind of random if you want.
Travel news for Beds, Cards and Bugs.
BBC Three Counties Radio.
Still problems around Hatfield. The A414 westbound remains closed. Got delays all following this medical incident between the A1M at Hatfield and the London Coney roundabout. Someone was taken ill at about 10 o'clock this morning. Eastbound, though, has now reopened, but there are still long delays on the A1M southbound into towards London from Junction 3 at St Albans towards the M25. At Husbourne Crawley Bedford Road, that remains closed in both directions. Follows an overturned lorry. Still doing recovery work there between the M1 at Junction 13 and School Lane. Good news, though, everything looking good still on public transport. Gary King, BBC Three Counties Radio.
Gary, thank you very much indeed. Ah, dear, oh dear. Oh, I've not even got started yet. Well, I don't feel we've started the show properly, Catherine. We have another hour to...
Well, you better get on with it, because we've got...
I want to talk about people that I hate.
OK.
I've got a very, very long list.
We've only got an hour.
Local and vocal across Beds, Hearts and Bucks.
This is BBC Three Counties Radio.
It's 1 o'clock. I'm Gail Sanderson. The headlines: former Conservative Cabinet Minister Lord Howe dies, explosion at peace rally in Turkey, and more tests on St Albans sinkhole.
BBC Three Counties Radio.
Lord Howe, the former Conservative Cabinet Minister, whose scathing resignation speech is widely credited with having helped to bring Margaret Thatcher's leadership to an end, has died. He was 88. Sean Lay looks back at his life.
Geoffrey Howe was no orator. Yet, with a single speech, he brought down one of Britain's longest-serving prime ministers. He'd been close to Margaret Thatcher almost from the moment she became Conservative leader. As her Chancellor, he implemented tough policies to bring down inflation. His handling of the economy helped secure the government's re-election. At the Foreign Office, he negotiated Hong Kong's return to China. But he fell out with Mrs. Thatcher over Europe, and in a devastating resignation speech, he accused her of isolating Britain in Europe. A week later, she too had resigned.
At least 30 people have been killed in two explosions in the Turkish capital, Ankara. More than 100 were injured in the blasts, which happened as demonstrators gathered for a peace rally. The BBC's Shadi Al-Kashif is at the scene in Ankara.
Now in the main square in Ankara, there is a clash between the security and the very angry people in the central of Ankara after this explosion. The people here is very, very angry, and that's all what happened after the two big explosions shaking the central of Ankara.
The former mayor of Aylesbury, Niknam Hussain, is urging people to ignore an EDL march through the town, which is due to start about now. About 150 people are expected to take part, but police say they're not expecting any disruption. Liberal Democrat councillor Stephen Lambert told Three Counties Radio it's very frustrating.
I wish they weren't doing it. I think it's trying to create divisions within the community that just aren't there. And I think it's a real shame they decided to do it.
Hertfordshire County Council says the results of tests for ground movement near the St Albans sinkhole will not be known until at least the end of next week. The 33-foot hole in Fontmell Close opened up 9 days ago. Engineers have pumped in 48 lorry loads of foamed concrete to fill it. The whole operation has cost £100,000 so far. The former boss of Marks & Spencer, Lord Rose, will lead the campaign for Britain to stay in the EU. A referendum is expected to take place before the end of 2017. In Formula One, final practice for the Russian Grand Prix was abandoned after Toro Rosso's Carlos Sainz was involved in a high-speed crash into the barriers. He gave the thumbs up to the crowd as he was taken to hospital. And Luton Town will aim to make it 5 league wins in a row today as they host York City. The weather, a fine and pleasant day with some brighter sunny spells and an easterly breeze. Maximum temperature 16 degrees Celsius, 61 Fahrenheit. Get the latest news and sport online at bbc.co.uk/3counties.
On FM, AM, online and digital radio.
Catherine Boyle and Ian Lee.
On BBC Three Counties Radio.
Bit of Paul Revere and the Raiders. I think we're 6 days late, but it was a year ago that Paul Revere died. Listen, Paul Revere were huge in the States. They were kind of the Monkees before the Monkees happened, and they were like a huge kind of pop band and a little bit of a joke, but don't mean their song's not good. And they would dress up as fighters from as soldiers from the American War of Independence.
Rebels.
They would dress up, right?
Revolting colonists.
Go and Google Paul Revere doing Him or Me or Stepping Stone. They did Stepping Stone originally. And it's brilliant because they've got these breeches and these hats. And they look ridiculous, but they were fantastic. These are some brilliant pop songs. Never had a hit over here in the UK. Never had
it's
a hit.
Scandalous.
It is scandalous because they're absolutely flipping brilliant. So the people I don't like, okay...
Here we go.
People who wear glasses.
Right.
Right, but they make a big song and dance about wearing glasses. Okay.
Hello.
Hello, who's that?
Hello, it's Russ.
Hello, Russ, what you got?
I kind of interrupted you midstream there.
Let me just tell you, right, it's when people know that they're about to read something, right?
Oh, right, where's my readers?
So the book gets passed to them that they're going to read from, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they go, oh, just got to get my glasses. Well, no, hang on a second. And they make a big song and dance. They get the glasses case out of the inside pocket. They open the case, put the case on their knee, get the glasses.
Oh, no. First of all, they polish them.
Polish them, put them in. We're all sat there going, all right, mate, you can't see. Why is that being celebrated? Listen, if you can't see properly, have your glasses on standby all of the time. You should know. That's like, I'm trying to think of an example. On a car. Okay.
You're a revolutionary, Ian, that's what you are.
But in many ways, the last recognition. That's like someone who can't walk, right, knowing that they're going out to the shops, right, and then everyone's ready to go. Oh, hang on a second, let me just get my wheelchair. No, you know about it.
Be prepared.
Be
prepared. Have your purse ready. This is what it is,
go
right?
Go on, you've got it.
You're in the queue. You've been standing in the queue for ages. Suddenly it's your turn. I know.
Give up with people. The sooner you give up sort of any expectation from anyone, the better. Just,
well, this is the problem, Russell. Our job involves dealing with people. The P word.
Like you.
And we have nothing but contempt. We have respect for people like you, Russell. What have you called in for?
Of course. Well, I was just calling to sort of ask why there's so many, like, random celebrities in the Ghostbusters music video. Why? Why is that? Can you tell me?
What? Hang on a minute. I have literally no idea if that's true or not.
Yeah, at the end, there's, like, Chevy Chase, Danny DeVito, John Candy. None of them have got anything to do with the film.
Ghostbusters video. Let's find out exactly. They're all.
They were mates on Saturday Night Live.
They were all friends, weren't they? They were all kind of. I guess we would say buddies. Oh, look, you're right. Here we go.
But
here
do
we
you
go.
Know what else? The 80s was the decade of the cameo appearance in videos, wasn't it?
Oh, look. What's even weirder? I'm watching it on YouTube. The Ghostbusters video is set in Tron.
Yeah. Oh.
There's a bit of a crossover.
There we go. Oh, look. There we go. Look, there's who's that? Hang on. Oh, there's
that bloke
Norm,
from Cheers.
Norm. You're absolutely right. I don't know who that is.
No.
I don't know who most of these people are. How long has this troubled you, Russ?
It's been troubling me for weeks. Have you ever asked Catherine what her first record was, considering you're a pair of people that celebrate sort of great records and fantastic music over the decades,
aren't you? You know what my first record was, don't you?
I know.
They didn't have any Band-Aid left, so I had Ghostbusters instead.
Excellent record.
I actually saved me a job.
I think you're the winner there. My first, the first record I was given was I'm a Believer by the Monkees when I was three. The first record that I bought with my own dollar, and I remember going, bought it in Boots. We'd just come back from a holiday in Spain, first holiday abroad. I would have been nine. Mm-hmm. And I was too embarrassed to tell. I said, Mum, could you give me, I guess it was like £1.20 or something for a single then, maybe even less. The first record I bought was La Dolce Vita by Ryan Paris. Do you remember that song?
No, how did it go?
Do you remember that song, Russ?
I don't think I do, actually. Can you sing it?
Hang on a second. This might come out in one speaker, but it was... Yeah, it's coming out in one speaker. It was this. Oh, hang on, that's us coming. That's oh, I see what's happening. Yeah, it's this is very low quality, yeah. Kind of one speaker. But this is it basically. Hang on. Yeah.
Oh yeah, I remember.
You
this.
Remember this?
Mm-hmm.
Remember this?
This is tolerable. This is definitely tolerable.
But he's not started singing yet.
I bet he sings. Oh, bo.
You've got those beautiful women from the early 80s. I say beautiful. Here we go.
They're definitely women.
We have been
like
an adult.
I knew he was
going to
sing like that. I knew he was going to sing like that. This time we got it right. Dun, dun,
dun, dun, dun, dun, dun.
Do you? Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Having fun tonight.
You know that voice? Yeah. Da, 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 right? In Spanish in the 80s, they sang like that.
Yeah.
In France in the 80s, they sang like that. It was just the 80s voice.
I did think, looking at him now, and I remember this, I thought he was one of the guys from Mind Your Language. That's, I think, partly why I bought it. Anyway,
he looks like a
first...
more handsome Matt Albright.
Should I admit my first record now?
Yeah, go on. Why the hell not, Russ?
While we're all showing.
Yeah.
It's kept me, like, out of the military as a career option. It was In the Army Now by Status Quo.
Oh, dear.
You sound... I was flying over your head. No thanks, mate.
You sound like... by the way, if we're not technically doing phone-ins, but if a record has ever put you off a career, we'll do that, of course. You sound older than that, though, Russ, because that was quite... That would be quite... How old are you?
Mate. I'm, how old am I? 34.
Oh, my. You're younger than me.
Well, there you go.
On BBC local radio.
What the hell is going on, Russell? Thank you very much indeed. 03459 455 555 is the telephone number. If you want to give us a call, you're more than welcome to. He sounded like an old man, and I mean that with the greatest of disrespect. It's all loving. I'm
begging you, put your loving hand out, baby. Yeah, begging you, put your loving
it's just, if you know that you've got poor eyesight, you know a book is being passed around or you're about to do a reading.
Have you been standing?
And you're right, to finish the thing you were saying about the shopping.
You're queuing up, you've been there a while, there's been people in front of you, right? So how come it's only when she says, and that'll be $12.99, please? Oh. You start looking for your, have your bag open and have your purse in your hand. Am I right? Yes.
Is she right, Myrtle?
Yes.
She is, isn't she?
Get your purse out. In fact, put it in a bum bag, then you've got it handy.
Do you have a bum bag, Myrtle, or a fanny pack?
No, I don't.
You don't do that? Okay.
No.
Okay.
I've got a problem with glasses.
Oh, dear.
Go on. Here we go.
Right. Well, I have only been wearing them a year, and I put them on my head, and the other day I spent 10 minutes looking for them.
Oh, Myrtle. You see...
I couldn't find them.
No.
You like...
I know, Will. You what silly do you sausage. Do?
That's so Myrtle, though, isn't it?
It's such a Myrtle thing to do. I would love to wear glasses. I would love to wear glasses. I think, no, because I, back in the day, I did wear glasses for a little while. and I look hot with glasses.
So go and get mine, you can try one.
Well, no, because that's making fun of disabled people.
No, they're my glasses. What are you calling me?
Well, but I look good with glasses on, Myrtle.
Oh, I can't hear when I've got glasses on.
You what?
I can't hear. I have to take the glasses off to hear, and that, oh, don't even go there.
So being able to see knocks out your sense of hearing?
Yeah.
Gosh, what a curious thing.
Hang on a minute. How does that work?
Well, I told the optician, and she said, did I want a hearing aid? I thought, oh, get out of here.
Yeah.
No, I don't know.
Hearing aids have come on a long way since the 1980s. It's not those kind of big pink things sticking in your ear. Oh, Charles,
no,
be a fine
I'm
thing.
Not deaf.
Pardon?
I'm not deaf.
Okay.
Right, okay.
Well, we've established the facts.
Thanks for that, Myrtle.
Okay, bye.
Ta-ta, there we go.
Hello.
Hiya.
Hello. Just wanted to say good morning, good afternoon, hello.
Good morning, good afternoon, and hello you.
Hello.
Hiya.
My name's Lucy.
Hello, Lucy. You're right.
Yes, fine, thank you.
What you got for us? Have you got anything? You don't need to have anything.
I haven't. Well, I'm going out this evening, and I didn't know what to wear.
Oh, yeah.
All right.
You've come to the right place.
I'll help you out.
Oh, have I?
Yeah. Of course. We can sort this out. We are fashion gurus. We're like Gok Wan.
Can't tell you what I'm wearing tonight.
Except we're not going to ask you to strip off.
Thank you.
I'm always suspicious of Gok Wan. He claims to be homosexual.
He's obsessed with bangers.
Yeah, he's continually getting women to undress. Now, it's the perfect cover to see nudie women by saying, well, no, I'm a gay man, so I'm not interested.
One of the girls.
Take them off. Take them off, my darling.
Put your boobs.
Yeah, get your boobs. Get to see your boobs and your bum, but it doesn't matter, I'm gay.
The thing is about Gok, he also gets a grip.
Does he?
Yeah, he does. Look at these.
And I'm sure for legal reasons, I'm sure.
No, he's done it on camera.
Yeah, well, I'm sure that Gok Wan, you know, is not in any way up to subterfuge. But wouldn't it be a great way, Lucy, of warming up your hands?
Well, totally. I often do it myself.
So what's the occasion tonight, Lucy? Let's help you out with your outfit.
OK, I'm going to see somebody on the radio.
Right.
Oh, blimey.
And I didn't know if it was sort of a gene sort of a thing or a more smarter thing or a...
Allow me to step in.
No. Have you got a Dungeons & Dragons T-shirt?
Oh, Jesus, no.
Are you coming to see me in the Birmingham?
That would be a little presumptuous to expect it to be you, sir.
Yes, I'm going to assume it is. Everybody's heading towards Birmingham to see me tonight doing
Stuart
two
McCone's
shows.
Very good, though, isn't he?
I'm going to be wearing jeans, love, so I suggest just take it easy. It's not formal in any way whatsoever.
Can I just say, by the way... Oh,
go on.
Can I just say to the lady caller, by the way, that there's a few of these people doing these sort of radio shows, because I caught a cold going and seeing one in London on, I think it was Thursday night.
Is that because you didn't have any clothes on?
Well, yeah. I was just sat there, just had a scarf on, and a starker. to be honest, I think it put him off, but, you know, I don't know.
Oh, so you don't think I need a ball gown then?
I just wear like have you got like a cocktail dress?
Yes, I could pull one of those out of the wardrobe.
Yeah, I'd do that then. That'd be all right.
Okay, and do you think my husband ought to wear a cocktail dress as well?
Yeah, that'd be fine. Just out in a couple of slingbacks.
Peep toe, of course.
Hope that helps, Lucy.
Thank you very much.
Make sure you go and say hello to whoever it is. I'm sure they'll be very grateful. Yes, Carl, what you got for us, boss?
Well, that was about the acupuncture thing.
Yeah, it's nonsense, isn't it?
Well, do you know, I've always thought it was absolute tripe.
Yes.
And then about 10 years ago, it was in absolute agony when we were back. And I went down, I think it's Oxford Street, the one in London, isn't it?
The Oxford Street is in London,
there
yes.
There is one, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know what I mean, Kath, because there's Oxford Road in Manchester.
Exactly.
Isn't
there? But, yeah. It's also an excellent road.
Yeah, indeed, by the map. But so I went down Oxford Street and I did it. I went with my then girlfriend.
Oh, dear, what went wrong?
Well, they put these massive needles, because I couldn't see, it was my back.
She had needle envy.
Yeah, well, she was taking it, but she took pictures, I haven't got them now. And they put the needles so far in. However,
in what?
In my back.
Oh.
With a heat lamp on it as well for half an hour.
And you like that, do you?
Well, no. But do you know, the funny thing is, it didn't really hurt, which I thought it would.
Okay, you're a tougher man than me.
Well, I thought it was chicanery. I thought it was some trickery.
Chicanery.
Chicanery. But honest to God, and touch what I'm touching wood now.
Steady.
From that day to this,
yeah.
I've never had any back pain.
Coincidence. Because how does it work? How does it work? All right, this is the thing, right? How does it
work? Give you something else to think about. Well, you know, like when your mum said, you say, I've got a headache, she said, I'll stamp on your foot.
Yeah.
It's that.
There's got to be more to it than that, right? They claim, what is it, that they're putting needles on energy points, like ley lines in the body or something, right? And you're helping blocked energy travel. Oh, for goodness sakes, China.
Is that your chi?
That's your chi, is your life force.
Oh, yeah.
Your chi is your life force, right? Chakras and... I'm sorry, Kyle, I'm not buying this for one second.
You think it's chicanery?
You were completely sucked in by China.
All I can speak from is experience, and it sorted me right out. So.
Do you know what, Kyle? There are a lot of people in China, and they live to a ripe old age.
Yeah.
So who's to say that the odd pin now and
again
isn't doing them
some
good?
Also, a lot of people in China who die very young because they ain't got enough food to go around. So do you know what I mean? Swings and roundabouts.
Swings and roundabouts.
Swings and roundabouts.
You're right,
Kyle, thank you very much for that. 03459 455 555. Ian and Catherine, if you're looking for Down the Rabbit Hole on the iPlayer, I think you won't find it because we're not allowed to actually give the. It's the unofficial title, okay? Because the BBC, we're not allowed to give shows names. So if you look for Ian Lee and Catherine Boyle, and you've probably got the hang of it now, you phone up and you'll speak to Jen, who will call you back. Once she's called you back and you hear us on the radio, the odds are your fader is open and you can join in any time you want. 03459 455 555. Now, here's Harvest Festival is coming up soon. I've got one queued up, so there's no
beans
rush.
In.
Well, this is the thing. It was always cans of food that were being sent in, and we would raid the larder. I'm old enough to have had a larder.
Gosh.
Yeah. Or a pantry.
Did you have a marble slab?
No. Enough cold in there.
Oh, blimey.
But we were old enough to have that, and we'd always get a can of peas pudding, tin of peas pudding. I don't even know what peas pudding is, but we'd
is
always
it like
have
mushy
it.
Peas gone to slop?
No, but it's like a pudding. And we'd always
Is it solid?
I never opened it. That's why we just had it, and it was always about 10 years out of date, and we just you know, we'd take it into school and it'd go.
You're proper Cockney, aren't you?
Well, my parents are very common. Yes,
peas pudding.
I've pulled myself up by the bootstraps.
Gosh, you've done very well.
Thank you so much.
Can hardly
but now,
tell
this year. So my boys have got Harvest Festival, right?
Peas pudding time.
No. This is where I think things have gone hideously wrong. Okay, they have been asked to make cakes.
What?
Yeah, I know. Now, with the greatest respect, 5 and 3 year olds never eat food that's been made by a child.
Not even if it's your own child, because bogey is bogey.
Bogey, spittle. I mean, do they really wash their hands after they wipe their bottoms?
They don't.
That's
very
all
quick
in there.
So
I don't know if this is a campaign to kill
the elderly
people that live near this school. I don't know if this is a. It just strikes me as very, very odd. That would be the thing. I never eat the food the boys make me. I pretend to.
My
wife will point to the one that the cake
the
that she's
one.
Made.
The clean one.
And I'll eat that. But otherwise, I mean, that's a weird...
There's going to be a lot of tinned mints down your Marks and Spencer's going to rot, isn't there, if you're all baking cakes
well,
instead.
Have you been asked? It's the end of October.
We did it last week.
Okay.
Yeah. You've got a cough?
I'm bunking off on Wednesday to go to my youngest Harvest Festival.
All right. So you're a better parent than me then, because I stayed at work.
So I'm doing that. But what did your girls take then?
A couple of tins of soup and I think some beans. They'll sort them out, won't it?
I was never lucky enough to be one of the, you could say swats, you could say bumlicks, that got invited to go around. What happened You probably did this. What happened to the boy and the girl that got to go to the old people's houses and drop off the food? What happened? What did they see? Because it was never... The people that got to do that were never in my social circle at primary school because they were swats and I was a naughty boy. So what did they get to see?
I don't know. All I can tell you is when I was head girl, the head boy and I would be privy to a lot of social situations that we wouldn't have been otherwise. You know, you get important people come in and they plied them with sherry.
Yeah. Wow.
And then afterwards, we would wash up. But sometimes there was still... Yeah.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
I can hear someone snuffling in the background, like a pig sniffing for... not frankfurters.
If only they would pipe up.
I'm drinking coffee.
Yeah, good. Oh. Who's that? Morning. Afternoon. Who's that?
It's Joe from London. Syntax error from last week.
Syntax error.
Does not compute. Bad program. Switch it off and switch it on again. What you got for us, Joe?
I wanted to get your take on the debacle that was London's Oktoberfest on Thursday night.
Now,
I heard about this.
Go on then,
too many people turned up, apparently. Is that right?
That amongst other things. Yeah, they just had no staff. There was 2,000 just trying to get in. You're in the middle of nowhere at Shadwell, where I'd never been at the tobacco dock. Was expecting a really good night, to be honest.
Were you wearing lederhosen?
No, it was a work gig. I'm lucky enough to go to these sort of events with work. So I wanted to go, see what all the fuss was about, have a Stein and see what the food was like.
Yeah,
but we queued for 90 minutes. We had one person talking of stuff that you hate. Yeah. Imagine one person checking bags. Everyone's got a bag. There are a lot of suits there. And they had one person for 2,000.
Joe, just move back to where you were because your signal's going a little bit.
Oh, sorry.
There we go. That's it. Perfect. Go on. So say that again.
Yes, so we're queuing, and they had one person checking bags, can you imagine? And it took about 5 minutes for her to check each bag. She's
what were they checking for? Contraband booze?
I think mainly alcohol, in case you're bringing spirits in, because obviously it's a beer-oriented event. Mm. Yes, it was an absolute fiasco, because there were no stuff. We got in there, and they gave us the wrong band, because we were supposed to be at a particular table. I mean, it's got potential. They had the Oompa bands, and they had the women in the lederhosen with
the dirndl skirts.
Yes, exactly. All very voluptuous and whatnot.
And I heard about this. It was supposed to be running all weekend, and they cancelled it after the first one. They said, "Yeah, we can't do this." But Oktoberfest, spelt with a K, I'm guessing.
Oktoberfest.
So this is the. And I never really understood what it was. It's just like a big German boozy party.
Exactly.
And you all sit on
outside,
long,
is it?
You all sit on long tables and drink beer.
Exactly. Well, but imagine if you haven't got enough staff to get the beer around and the poor girls can't lift up the massive steins and the security don't know what's going on and no one's got the right bands and everyone's trying to get... And then the people were throwing beer mats. There were projectiles at the teachers. Nightmare. Projectiles everywhere.
How much did you pay to go and...
It was a work do, but I'm told it was £60 a head. I think it was £10.
What?
I know.
But why would you want to do it? If you're going to do it, go and do it in München. That's Munich in German.
Yeah.
Go to München.
Yeah, I got it.
After der Air.
I don't know. I think it's that you only have to get on the DLR or whatever rather than fly to Munich. And
that's what it is. Zu Bavaria zu fahren.
Probably. I didn't understand that.
I don't think he actually speaks the German.
I think that was German.
He just likes boozing. So it was very poor. I'm assuming, Joe, that you got your money back for that.
Well, no, because obviously all night actually happened, but I had friends and colleagues that were going on the Friday, all wearing lederhosen, obviously, to the office. And to be honest...
Hang on.
Whoa.
You say obviously wearing lederhosen to the office?
Yeah, because preparing for a whole afternoon and evening of boozing.
You've not got toilets where you could go and get changed?
Oh, I think it's just... it's not tongue-in-cheek, it's all fine.
Joe, I'm sorry for your disappointment, but I appreciate you coming on and sharing it with us. 03459 455 555 is the telephone number. You see how random it is, guys? You can call in about anything.
Travel news for Beds, Cards and Bugs.
BBC Three Counties Radio.
Let's
start on the A1M. Really slow on the London bound, a southbound carriageway between junctions 3 and 1 heading down to the M25. It's all because of the earlier problems on the A414, so still delays on the southbound A1M. 414 now looking OK on the sensors. In towards Husband Crawley, now Bedford Road is closed off because of the overturned lorry. It's still being recovered between the motorway and School Lane. So this is the road between the M1 and Husband Crawley Village, and we'll keep you up to date on that. And onto the M1 itself, that looks all right. Can't see any problems on the sensors on the north and southbound side. M25 looking fine, and trains, well, London Midland running reduced service between Bletchley and Bedford because of vandalism. James Worley, BBC Three Counters Radio.
Get the latest news, sports, weather and travel online.
bbc.co.uk/threecounties.
On Inside Out, we meet the man who overcame his fear of heights to work at Britain's largest container port.
I was petrified of heights when I first started down the port. It was worth conquering to be where I am today.
We uncover the supply of contaminated breast milk to mothers across the east. And we find out how tough housing decisions are made when there aren't enough houses to go round. That's Inside Out with me, David Whiteley, Monday, 7:30 on BBC One.
Afternoon, guys. 03459 455 555. The way it works, we're just kind of going to sit here and chat, and you can come in and join in the chat, or phone in and throw your own thing out. You'll phone up the number. You speak to Jen. She'll take your number, call you back. And then when you hear us on the phone, the odds are you're in the conversation. You just join in. We're going to try and avoid that. Hey, it's Joe from Luton. Joe, you've called in to tell us a little bit about chiropractice. What's your thoughts on that? We're going to try and avoid that and try and just make it a bit more... a little bit more informal, if at all possible. So,
yeah.
We've got the people at the queues who don't have their cards ready. Mm-hmm. That annoys me a lot. Yeah. The glasses wearers who make a big song and dance about the fact that they've got to put their glasses on. Oh, just get me glasses. And then they put them away. Even worse than those people, and there is someone who has worked at BBC Three Counties Radio who does this. The snap-away glasses. Have you seen those? Where they're in, it's like one eye.
And on a string?
On a string around their neck. And then when they put them on, they just kind of, it's like a magnet and they click together.
Who had those?
I mean, it's not really fair. The Periscope viewers will get this.
No.
Yes, he did. Yes.
Flipping it.
Yes, he did. The snap away glasses.
Gosh.
It was the weirdest.
You have to have some front to use those, I think. Because it's a very flourishy type thing to do.
I'd imagine it's the same people that sit on the underground train with their legs wide apart.
Man spread.
Well, you say that. I've seen women doing it.
Have you?
Yes, I have.
Grand spread.
Yeah. I'll stop that joke's in my head. And do you know what I've done there? Is I've learnt to reel
swallow
it
the
in.
Joke.
I've swallowed the joke, guys. You make your own one.
Will you tell jokes. Me after?
Well, it's obvious and vulgar about...
Oh.
It's vulgar. Anybody else that you have an intense dislike of? Really? I mean, there's...
Well, there's people who talk loudly on their phones on the train. There's no need for that.
That I'm not so fussed
about.
No,
that makes me bristle.
I told you once I was on a bus. I very rarely take phone calls when I'm on a bus or on a train. I try not to, but I had to take an important phone call on a bus.
At least whisper. Don't be talking in your normal outdoors voice.
I was whispering. A top deck, I was whispering, right? And I was it was about four rows back from the front, and there was a guy two rows in front of me, and I was whispering, right? I wasn't whispering. I wasn't talking loudly.
Okay.
Right?
Just tell me how you were talking.
I was talking like this. This is the voice.
You want to talk a bit more like that.
Okay. Anyway, the guy. So I was talking to my friend. And the guy in front of me, two seats in front of me, turned around very, very slowly, locked eyes, made eye contact. I thought, well, this is weird. And then his clenched fist came up from behind the chair. I thought,
what?
This is weird. Then very, very slowly, his middle finger started to rise like that.
Oh, gosh. It's like falling down.
And I then said to then I got loud on the phone. I went, oh, I'm going to have to go. There's a bloke two seats in front of me who's being a right... flipping div. Change those two words. And the guy just, he kept the finger and slowly it went
retracted.
Back down. And then he turned around. And that was
he
it.
He didn't crank it.
No, there was no crank. He just raised it slowly. Like if you're watching on Periscope, he did it like this, really slowly. And then it went back down.
And with purpose.
It was so odd. It was so odd. And I was angry and I felt a little bit ashamed. But I, at the end, I thought, fair play, respect to that guy.
He expressed himself.
He expressed himself.
Through the medium of digits.
03459 455 555. Another, now, in the paper, I am going to go to the papers very briefly.
Right, go on.
I need the mirror because there's a story in here.
I haven't got the mirror.
Oh, I've got the mirror. Good. There's a story in here. As you know, I'm not a fan of buskers. There's no such thing as an entertaining busker.
Apart from one that's packing up.
Well, I once, when I was at LBC, I saw this guy busking on the South Bank and he was awful, this old boy, and he was awful. And I said, oh, you've got to come on my show. And he came in as a guest. And when he came in the studio, he was really good, like a really good blues guitarist. And he was
great. Was a ringer.
He was a ringer. listen to this, though, right? And, I mean, I just think we should just ban buskers completely. And this is not me. I've busked.
Have you?
Oh, yeah.
What with?
With my talent. Me and my mate Colin and Simon, we went... sometimes I do it on my own. Oh, it's the most terrifying thing. We just sing... leaving on a jet plane, I don't know when I'll be back again.
Gosh, people gave you money for that.
Yeah, they did, actually. One woman gave us a tenner.
Because they thought you were actually leaving.
No, it is. It's a
fair.
It's a terrifying thing to do. But also, we don't need it, guys. We don't want that.
Outside is supposed to be quiet, birdsong, traffic, quiet.
Yeah. Okay, let's compile a list. I'll do this. Let's compile a list of noisy people outside. Right. Mm-hmm. So number one, buskers.
Number two, builders.
Yeah. Okay. Number three, like the hardcore Muslims.
The ones that do the call to prayer?
No, not the call to prayer. The ones that have got the table and they've got the microphone and they've got the booklets for sale.
You can lump in the End of the World guys.
Yeah. Well, I was then going to lump in the Born Again, number four, the Born Again Christians.
Same thing.
But their technology is, strangely, their technology is generally older than the Muslim guys, because the Muslim guys have got like a guitar amp and a microphone.
Younger guys.
The Christian guys, they've got like a megaphone generally.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes they'll have a guitar amp.
Sometimes they just have the power of the Lord.
So we got number one, buskers, number two, builders, number three, the hardcore Muslims, number four, the born-again Christians. Who else is noisy out on the streets?
Kids.
I don't mind the kids. And
when I say kids, I mean, you know, kids that are older than, not handholders. I'm talking about, you know, teens.
Bus stop swearers.
Yeah.
Bus stop swearers.
Showing off.
Yeah, okay.
And we've all been them.
Yeah.
So cut them some slack.
I remember being a teenager, and I was tall enough when I was 13 to kick the roof of the bus stop by using my karate skills, back to the karate skills.
Scissor kicks.
I could do the scissor kick. I could kick the top of the bus shelter.
Did you have to do a run-up or?
No, I could do it standing still.
Flipping it.
Yeah, I know.
It's a skill. What are you doing here?
Exactly, right? And I used to be my party trick waiting for the bus.
Party. A bus party.
So I would
just... It's a good party.
So
you need is someone kicking.
03459 455 555. So I would do this, and this was my thing, and I could kick it. I could get a lot of force into it, right?
Mm.
And once I did it...
Do you make it rattle?
Yeah.
Gosh.
I mean, imagine seeing that. How intimidating would that be? I'd certainly have a word with that child. But once this builder's truck pulled up in the bus stop, and these, well, they said they were policemen undercover.
Of course they were.
Got out, right, and he said, right, we're the police. That's vandalism. Stop it. And I went, you're not the police. Show me your police card. And he flipped open his wallet and just showed me, like, I think it was like a bank card or something.
Yeah. Switch.
It was a switch. It wasn't switched then. What was switch before switch? It was it connect? There was something pre-switch. Anyway, he flashed it, as I say, a switch card. And I went, flipping it. And I was terrified. I said, we're coppers. You do that again, you'll be under arrest, son.
You should have arrested him impersonating a police officer.
Yeah, exactly.
Next time.
Imagine making a citizen's arrest. And let's be honest, that's what Ollie Martins is going to be forced to do now that they're not getting any more money. You've got to see Ollie Martins going, I'd like to place you under citizen's arrest. Naff off, Martins!
I felt sorry for Ollie Martins.
So many pictures of Ollie Martins looking a broken man on Friday, dear.
Glum face.
We'll talk about that in the week, don't worry. Anyway, here we go. A council has been forced to back down on plans to force buskers to smile at all times.
What? Even if they're singing a sad song?
Yeah.
Well, then it takes away from the drama.
And some of them are so miserable, though. I mean, sometimes there's... I tell you what,
if you're singing Blowing in the Wind, you've got to mean it.
No one can sing Blowing in the Wind with a straight face.
How many?
Because come on, right, let's be honest. When we hear Blowing in the Wind, we think about farts. So it's all we're thinking about is we're thinking about farts. That's it. There's an...
Crikey, who's rattling that jar?
What's that?
Hello, it's a cowbell. brought it back from the Black Forest at the weekend for my nan.
They've banned cowbells.
It drives the cows nuts, doesn't
yeah,
it?
In the Black... Well, they've not banned it. They want to ban cowbells in the Black
do
Forest.
They?
Yeah, they do. Because it's cruel to the cows.
It's curdling the milk.
Well, I was going to use the phrase it dehumanises them, but it can't. It de-bovinises
them.
It decows them. It decows them. And you've been saying you bought it for your man?
For my nan, my gran.
She go missing a lot?
Well, that's not a bad idea, actually. Attach it to her. No, she just needs some little trinket to keep her happy. You know, she's a bit bored with life. So.
What's your name, by the way?
I'm Fern.
Hello, Fern.
Oh, that's a nice name.
It is a nice name, unless it's Fern Cotton. Do you still send postcards?
I did to my gran and a few people, yeah.
Because let's be honest, right, now that we've got mobile phones, the postcard is a 1970s invention where it's a way of just saying, we got here safe, we're having a great time, miss you lots, and that's it.
Yeah.
Well, now you can just send a text, or it's cheap to make a phone call. Mm-hmm. So you can just make a phone call. You say, I'm all right, this is it, I'm here.
My parents always send one to the kids. Not me anymore. It's always the kids.
Oh, the kids get...
They like to get something in the post, don't they?
My
thing is, take as many photos as you like. Chances are the postcards are going to have the best pictures, though, aren't they?
Well, yeah, they are. And also, who really looks at their photos on their phone anymore. We have too many I've got like 3,000 photos on my phone, right, of my kids, right?
Oh. And you see them every day.
I see them every day.
You don't need
those. There aren't even 3,000 photos of me having lived 42 years in existence. I've got 3,000 photos on my phone of the kids, of 5 years old.
You could do a time lapse, couldn't you, of them moving every day, growing.
Oh, yeah, I suppose you could. What's that film, that pretentious film?
Boyhood.
Boyhood, right, and it's filmed over, like, 15 years.
Same actors.
Yeah, and every year, Fern, they get the actors together and they do, like, another scene so that when you put the film together, you see the family grow up. Pretentious load of nonsense. What's wrong with a bit of makeup and a bit of talcum powder in the hair?
And
you go grey.
Latex masks that make him look like a Halloween puppet.
Yeah, rubber face.
Serious.
Here's the thing about Hollywood, right? It's got that we may have invented all these cures for these diseases, put man on the moon, but Hollywood has yet to find a realistic looking fake beard. It just doesn't exist.
Or nose. Did you see Meryl Streep? She's very good. In The Iron Lady, she's being Margaret Thatcher.
Oh, what a terrible film.
No, it was good.
No, it was awful.
I just like watching Meryl Streep doing voices.
I like Meryl Streep, but what? Did you see that, Fern?
No, I've seen pictures, though.
Did you see the Carol Thatcher?
You've seen pictures of what?
Of Meryl Streep looking creepy with a funny makeup.
But that's not who I'm talking about. The Carol Thatcher is...
Oh, mummy.
Was doing the good voice, you know, but they'd given her, like, the child catcher's nose.
But why couldn't they just get involved with the spitting image puppet of Maggie? Because that would have been a bit more authentic, wouldn't it, of the era?
It was. I watched that film. It's so tedious. I mean, it really is a stinky, stinky movie.
I just like watching Meryl Streep in...
You just like Meryl Streep? Well, why
I just
not?
Think she's good.
I like, but what other things has she done then? Because I confuse her with Sissy Spacek.
Oh,
how?
Oh, gosh.
Sissy Spacek was Carrie.
Yeah. Who was... Who was the China crisis?
I'm going to say SpaceX.
Fern?
I'm going to say Ghostbusters 2.
Thank you very much indeed. Thank you very much. What have you called in for, Fern? Was it just to show off your bells?
Show off my cowbell. Oh, you mentioned a Hopi candle about a year ago in the ears.
Yes.
And I used to be a physics researcher, and now I'm an ear specialist.
Oh.
Hopi candles, basically, if you burn one in your ear, you can't generate enough suction. She said suction. You can't generate enough suction to get wax up in the candle. It's bullshine.
So it won't clear your waxy deposits?
No, look, tell you what, proper Cass, if you burn one candle in your ear and just burn one not in your ear, open them both up, you'll get the same debris.
Ooh.
And also, as an ear specialist, it's not a good idea to stick something burning in your ear anyway.
Here's the thing, as an ear specialist, you can tell me with what my granddad Bill used to say to me, is science or nonsense. He said, you should never put something in your ear that's sharper than your elbow.
Mm. Oh, my God, that's what some clinicians tell patients.
But what does that even... What does that mean?
What are cotton buds for?
They talk about reaching. They say if you can't get your elbow in your ear, you shouldn't put anything in your ear like that because you can't reach, just to try and discourage people sticking stuff in their ear.
Here's the... Well, listen, this is the official BBC line. Every morning, I have to clean out my ears with cotton buds. I don't know what happens in the night. Sorry?
Stop right there, please.
It's the ear police.
What's your problem?
I'm going to have to be an ear police. OK, so if you stick a cotton bud in your ear, the chances are you're going to push more wax
in than get out. No, because my technique is pure. I put it in, it's rotating. I don't just damp it down as though I'm damping down. No, not like I'm damping down a pipe, an old man's pipe.
All right.
I've got a twisting technique. Honestly.
I'm sure you've got a good technique, but the way the ear canal bends. But can I tell you a horror story?
Yeah,
all right. I was looking in someone's ear about a month ago, OK?
Yeah.
I was looking in their ear.
Yeah.
You know, long-time hearing aid wearer, need quite bulky molds because they need a lot of amplification.
Wow.
And I couldn't quite work out what I saw in there. It looked like a wrapped-up tissue, but tiny.
Oh.
I had to get an ENT doctor to have a look as well, and she reckoned it was tiny fragments of cotton buds because after showering, she used cotton buds. And, no, she had one little one in one ear and then a bigger one in the other ear. And she was saying her ear was itchy when she put her mould in and sometimes it was sore and she had to get it removed. So these little tiny bits of cotton buds had congealed to be like a lump, like a tissue.
What's the best thing, stroke worst thing, you've ever pulled out of someone's ear?
Oh, Christ.
Wow, he was in there. Gosh!
Yeah, it was a holy premonition.
No, go on.
So, I mean, things we've seen, we get the doctors to remove stuff. We're not allowed to do that. But one time there was bits of purple in this girl's ear, and we're like, what is that? And she thought back, and all it could have been from about 3 years earlier, she used to use a putty earplug in the shower.
Oh, baby.
Of these ones you buy in the shops.
My nephew, Dylan, when he was a bit younger, I guess he was about... seven. And as is quite common with young boys, his hearing was going. Apparently it's quite a common thing that boys...
They get
gluey, and they get, it's more common in boys and girls. But he one day he just couldn't hear in one ear at all, right? And there was all horrible, like, massive loads of wax. And so my sister took him to the doctors, and he had a look in there. And he said, well, this is blocked. You're going to have to go to the hospital. He might need grommets. You're going to need something. So they went to the hospital. And the surgeon or whoever was having a little root around. And they went, hang on, we got something. And they dug deep. And they pulled out a tiny, waxy bead. Like, you know, from those little kits you get as kids to make... electricity. And my sister went, Dylan, where the flipping hell did you get... When were you using beads? They thought back to a year before when my niece was making... was making bracelets. It had been in his ear for a year, and it had kind of been absorbed by his body. His body was making the bead part of his ear.
Well, the earwax is trying to push out some of the debris that's in your ear. It's how your ear cleans itself.
Yeah.
So it's like, if it's just sat in there, it might be too heavy a lump to get out naturally, because your ear's like a cul-de-sac and it bends down. But, oh, my good God. And the worst ones, you know those little tiny round things look like beads that people put together, then they iron them to make...
They are called hammer beads.
Oh, yeah, we've got those for some reason,
These things are routinely pulled out of ears and noses from the ENT doctors.
It's been absolutely disgusting speaking to you today, but I appreciate it.
Lidlum stuck a bead up her nose once.
Yeah.
She was panicking.
Yeah.
Oh, it's like Dr. Kildare. Grabbed her face, got it from the bridge of her nose downwards, and just very gently squeezed it out.
Now, Dylan did a similar thing a couple of years later with a Lego piece up his nose. I think it was the...
Gosh, that's got corners.
Yeah, no, I think it was, like, you know, you get the blue lights for the police car, so they're like little...
Like milk bottles.
And he was kind of sitting quietly in a corner, like... fiddling with his nose. And my sister went, what have you done? He said, nothing. What have you done? I've got some Lego stuck up my nose. She said, right, I'm going to get it out. She got some tweezers. And he went, no, please don't. She says, right, you know what happened with the thing in your ear? We're either going to go to hospital or we're going to do it now. And she was really tired. She wanted to go to bed. So I think I've got this right. She did it. And he was like 9. She lay him on the floor.
Gosh.
She sat on his chest. Her knees on his shoulders so he couldn't move. And on the forehead. Tweezers right up the nose. Pulled it out. And that's the noise it actually made as they pulled it out of his...
Poor kid.
Well, do you know what? I love Dylan. He's a little so-and-so. But
if there's something to stick up his nose, it'll go up there, won't it?
He probably deserved it. So anyway, we didn't get to the story in the basically entertainers and calling a busker calling themselves an entertainer. No, that's an infringement. It's an infringement on my civil liberties.
A performer?
Entertainers organised a 5,000 strong petition in protest. The Public Space Protection Order was meant to tackle antisocial behaviour, but stated that buskers must smile, enjoy yourself, and entertain others. Oh, dear. Busker Johnny Walker said, "Well, there's no need for this nonsense. It creates an atmosphere of fear and control. Resources should be used on public safety, not people playing guitars." Well, I mean, for goodness sakes, how can you class that as entertainment? There's an old boy that does it where I live, right? And he's rubbish, right?
It is entertaining, though.
Is it good, bad? I feel sorry for him. But I give my kids some coins to go and put into his guitar case. Because I remember actually the thrill of being a boy and putting some money in, and then kind of you're walking away from your parents, you're going up to a stranger who's doing something, you put it in and you come back. Mm-hmm. I kind of remember that being quite exciting. But they're rubbish. There's no entertainment. I mean, it could be argued there's no entertainment value in the us doing this every two hours every Saturday.
And I'm sure it will be argued somewhere.
But there's no... You can't classify it. I mean, look, those people that paint themselves gold. I tell you ones I do like.
The hoverers.
I like the floaters. I love a floater.
I can't get one out of my mind. This guy in Covent Garden who'd put his head through a rabbit hutch and dressed his head as a rabbit. and his face was the rabbit's face. And that was the weirdest thing I've seen.
You found that incredibly... Shall we end on the turtles?
Yeah.
Okay.
Was a packed up. We're about to disperse ourselves. Me to the south and into the West Midlands. So, lock up. Don't bother locking anyone up. We can't be bothered.
Ta-ta!
Travel news for Beds, cards and bugs.
BBC Three Counties Radio.
It's still quite heavy on the southbound A1M from 3 down to the M25, mainly because of problems earlier on the A414. The M1's moving very nicely, and Bedford Road from the M1 at Junction 13 into Husband Crawley Village, that still shuts for the recovery of a lorry that overturned earlier. Luton Town, of course, hosts York City, kick-off at Kenilworth Road is at 3, and trains, London Midland trains, running at reduced service bletchley to Bedford because of vandalism. James Worley, BBC, Three Counties Radio.
Thank you very much, James. That's it. That's your lot. If you want to, if you missed it and you want to listen on iPlayer, don't look for down the rabbit hole because it don't exist. If you look for Ian Lee and Catherine Boyle, then that's where it comes up. No podcasts, I'm afraid, guys, but who knows what Billy Bootleg might be doing out there on the internet. Thank you to everyone who called it. It's taking shape. We will get there. We'll be back on Monday at 6, I guess. Is that right?
Yeah, that's my contractual obligation.
That's what we have to do. Sports is coming up next. So Monday at 6 from us. Ta-ta. Bye.
Local and vocal across Beds, Hearts and Bucks.
This is BBC Three Counties Radio.
Well, thanks to Ian and Kath. It's 2 o'clock.